I remember a time when I was about 7 or 8, walking out of the school gate to the place where we would always wait for our parents to come and pick us up. I was walking out with a friend. I saw my mum come up. She started chatting with some other parents, other caregivers, and I just kept playing with my friend. Now, after a little while, the other kids kind of dispersed, but we were still waiting for my brother, for my little brother. His name was Mitch. He was about 5 or 6 at the time, and he was nowhere to be seen. We couldn't find him. He didn't come to that place where we always waited. Now, I don't remember what happened as Mum was realizing that something was wrong or kind of what that process was like for her, but I have a really vivid memory of what happened next. I remember the ferocious grip that Mum had on my hand and kind of being dragged along as fast as my little legs had ever taken me as Mum searched for Mitch. There was no way that she was losing me. I also remember the way that Mum behaved. I remember the panic, but more so the utter focus and determination that kind of took over her whole being. There was nothing that would get in the way of her finding her little boy and making sure that he was safe. We eventually found Mitch. He was in the far playground behind this grassy mound that hid him from view. He had dug a hole in the dirt and was playing as happy as could be. I remember that Mum was so relieved that he was found, that he was safe, and then so immediately angry that he hadn't come. The psalm that we're looking at today, Psalm 91, as we continue in this series in our summer playlist, in these top 10 psalms from Jesus' songbook, this psalm describes the protective love of God for his people. That kind of protective, parental, mothering love. It uses the image of God as a bird who gathers his chicks and protects them, who gives them refuge under his wings. Let me read it for us. You want to pull your Bible out, grab it up on a device if you want. Psalm 91, hear the word of the Lord. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, that as we read it, you speak to us. So would your spirit come and move among us today? Would you show us more of who you are? Would you teach us what it means to be your people, what it is to follow you in this world? Amen. This psalm is full of promises. It's a big, long list of all kinds of dangers, and it says that God will protect you from all of them. It lists almost every kind of danger you can think of. The dangers of sickness, illness, disease, it's the pestilence and plague in verse 6. The dangers of enemies and battles of war. There's a fowler who wants to trap you in his snare. There's someone shooting arrows. There's an attacking army. The dangers of wild animals. There's a lion, a serpent. There's the dangers of just being in the world. The fear of what can happen at nighttime, of striking your foot on a stone, the harm and disaster that can come upon you. This psalm says none of these things will harm you. You don't need to fear the pestilence or the plague. You'll be saved from the fowler's snare. You won't fall in battle. The wild animals are no threat to you. Angels will guard you and lift you up. God will be your shield and rampart. He'll be the protective wall of a castle around you. He'll keep you safe. He'll be your refuge, your fortress. This psalm makes bold promises. It says these things which are threatening you, they're no threat at all. You don't need to worry about them. They can't harm you. These claims, these promises, are the psalmist's description of what life with God is like. In verse 2, he says, "The Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." He's trying to encourage the people who are listening to him to put their faith in God in the midst of trouble. He's saying God is the one who protects, the one who provides safety. This whole psalm is like a longer explanation of what he says in verse 1. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Most High and Almighty are names for the God. They describe who he is. The one who is powerful, the one who's in control, the one who made everything and looks after it. This God offers protection to people, to those who call out to him as Lord and God. He is shelter, he is shade. I love this image of God as a shadow. Before I came to Vancouver, I was living in Australia, and part of what work looked like for me was being on construction sites. Now, in the middle of summer, this is not the place that you want to be. I would be on site mostly in the early stages of development. So all the buildings are gone, the trees are gone, there is nowhere to hide from the sun. You'd be working hard, the sun would be beating down, there would be no respite anywhere. So if you did manage to squeeze into a patch of shade, the shadow of a neighboring tree, it was sweet, sweet relief. I love this image of God as a shadow, a place of refuge, of protection, a place where you can breathe a sigh of relief. That's what this psalm is claiming, that God is a place of refuge, a place of protection. And the result is what's claimed in verse 10, that no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but as I've been reading this psalm and hearing these promises, there's something that just isn't quite sitting right with me. This is not my experience of life. It's not my experience of following Jesus. It's not the experience of life of the faithful Christian people that I know. I know Christian people who have suffered from, battled and succumbed to the dangers of sickness, illness, disease, who are being pursued by those who don't have their best interests at heart, to those who are just subject to the dangers of being in the world. These things have happened to us here at KIT. They are part of our story. And I'm pretty sure that every single one of us has struck our foot against a stone. So, so this part, I was listening to a sermon about this. This part of the psalm where it says that you won't even strike your toe, Tim Keller says that this part is almost comic. It's where we say, yeah, sure, psalmist, we won't even strike our toe. So what do we do with this? It doesn't match our reality of life. I think we're left with the question, how can this psalm possibly mean what it says? At least on face value, it's hard to believe that this psalm is saying, if you trust God, he'll protect you from harm. We're left with the question, how can it possibly mean that? I think in these places where we rub up against scripture, we're invited to take a look deeper, to question again what this text might mean, what it might be saying to us. I think we have reason to be suspicious that the promises of this psalm are as simple as they first seem. Our experience of life is one of those reasons. Another is that we see this psalm quoted in precisely that way by Satan when he is tempting Jesus in the wilderness. We have a record of this in Luke 4. Let me read it for you. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Satan says, go on, jump off this building. God will protect you. Scripture says, if you trust God, he'll protect you from harm. He'll send his angels to lift you up. You can jump off this building and you won't even stub your toe. Prove that you are the Son of God. Surely he will protect you. This is a temptation for Jesus. Satan's not just throwing things out there hoping that something will stick. He knows how humans work. This is strategic. This is a temptation. Just like Jesus, we are tempted to think that putting our faith in God means that he will protect us from harm. We deeply long for this to be true, so we're prone to believe it. We would love for life to go well for us, for the people that we love. And anything that can guarantee that for us is easy bait. It's a temptation for us to follow. It's a dangerous lure for Satan to put out there for Jesus. And it's a dangerous lure for Satan to put out there for us. We need to be careful that we don't follow Satan's lead in how we read this passage. We have reason to be suspicious that Psalm 91 is claiming that if you trust God, life will be sweet and you'll face no harm. There's something deeper, something more complicated going on here. So, what does Psalm 91 mean? How can it be true that God is a protective God? When Jesus responds to Satan and is being tempted in the wilderness, he doesn't say, that's not true. He isn't dismissive. He doesn't discard this piece of scripture. He responds by saying, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He quotes Deuteronomy. He clarifies scripture with scripture. Jesus recognizes that this psalm does promise protection, but it's not necessarily physical or material. It's not necessarily for right now. This psalm is in the songbook of Jesus. It's part of his worship, and that has to hold together with his life, which is marked by suffering and by a road to the cross. This psalm is talking about something bigger, something deeper than we might first think. Jesus says you can't put God to the test. He does promise protection, but you can't claim it for every moment that you want. It's more complicated than that. I think there's another place in Scripture where this is illustrated for us, where we have a story about this. It's recorded in Daniel chapter 3. In the Old Testament, God's people Israel are taken into exile in Babylon. Now, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, makes this really tall golden idol. It's like 30 meters, 90 feet tall. And he says that all of the people have to bow down and worship it. There are three Israelites, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refuse to worship. They're brought before King Nebuchadnezzar, and he threatens to throw them in a furnace. This is what they say to him. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't like that very much. He binds them together and throws them into the furnace. But as he looks in, he sees four men, unbound, unharmed, walking around. Under threat, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, "The God we serve is able to deliver us. He will deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we will not serve your gods." I think this story tells us a number of things about what might be going on in our psalm that helps us build that bigger picture of deeper meaning. Firstly, I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego recognize that God is a powerful protector. They say God is able to save us. Secondly, they recognize that God does intervene in human history. They are confident that he will act. God isn't aloof, he isn't far away, he hasn't created the world and then abandoned it. He really does see and care what's going on. God does intervene in the world to bring healing and protection. Third, they recognize that God sometimes chooses not to intervene in human history. They are really aware that they might be about to die, that in his sovereignty, God might choose not to save them. Fourth, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego recognize that God's protection extends beyond the grave. They think it's better to serve the God of Israel and potentially die than to worship the gods of Babylon and save their own lives. They have a bigger picture of reality. They trust that the God of Israel offers ultimate protection. Let's take a little sidebar here for a minute. I think as people who have lived after Jesus, we have even more reason to be confident that God offers ultimate protection than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Jesus has risen from the dead. He has defeated death. And those of us who are united with him, who trust in him and follow him, will be resurrected just as he was. Our God offers protection which extends beyond death. Let's jump back to this list here. Fifthly and finally, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego recognize that God is present in the midst of trouble. God was with them in the furnace. He doesn't save them from the furnace. He doesn't stop them being thrown into it, but he is with them right in the midst of it. I think this story illustrates what's going on for us in Psalm 91. When we read it on the surface, it says things that seem to be impossible. But God can protect in these ways. He has done all of these things throughout history. But he also chooses not to. And when he chooses not to, his people are not outside of his ultimate protection. He is a God who is present in the midst of trouble. This story is more nuanced, isn't it? It's more complicated. It's not quite as cut and dry as we might hope. But I think it also matches more accurately with our experience of life. So we've dug a little bit deeper. We've taken a look into this more complicated story. But let's also take a step back. I think there's something that comes through really clearly in this psalm. This poem uses all kinds of images to show that God protects his people. The dominant picture of this psalm is that God is a protector. The psalm doesn't promise that God will do each one of these things for each one of us in every moment, but it does tell us about the heart of our God. This psalm speaks truth to us because it tells us that our God is a protector. This psalm speaks truth to us because it tells us who our God is. I think one of the most powerful images in this psalm is in verse 4. Let me read it for you again. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. I love this image of God as a mothering bird. It's the image of a bird who gathers her chicks under her wings, who provides refuge for them. She calls them close. She encompasses them with her wings, and she shields them with her own body, protecting them from the hail or the fire or the predator. It's not love from a distance. It's not well wishes. It's a love which is present in the midst of the threat, where the mother places herself between the threat and her chicks. This is self-sacrificial. It's in it with you kind of love. This is the kind of love that God has for his people. The psalmist says, God loves you like a protective mothering bird. The psalmist says, come, dwell in the shelter of the Most High, rest in the shadow of the Almighty. It's extravagant, all-encompassing, self-sacrificial, in it with you, protective, mothering, parental love. This is the kind of love that God pours out on his people. The psalmist uses these images which don't feel true to us on face value, to show us the extravagant extent of the love of God. Life is dangerous. There are threats all around. And it's into that context that God pours out his extravagant love. Friends, I think this psalm is in Jesus' songbook, is in part of our scripture, because the truth that it speaks often just doesn't feel true. I think it's hard for us to believe that God actually loves with a protective, mothering love. That doesn't always feel like our experience. And that is why this psalm is in scripture, because that is true. God does love like that. That is who our God is. It's part of the book of Psalms so that we tell each other this. So we remind each other, so we sing it to each other. This actually is who our God is. I think that's why it's in Jesus' songbook, in his book of Psalms, because there were moments where it didn't feel true for him. On the cross, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yet this psalm remains true, and it's in that very moment that Jesus himself is demonstrating the love of God for us. That very extravagant, all-encompassing, self-sacrificial love. This really is who our God is. He loves like that. It's the kind of love that my mum showed that day my brother was lost. On the surface, this psalm is claiming that if you have faith in God, no harm will come to you. But as we dig a little bit deeper, we see that it's possible to hold the promises of this psalm together with the reality of lives which are often marked by suffering. This is true of Jesus, and it's true for us. This psalm is an invitation to proclaim with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that God is a powerful protector, that he does intervene in human history, and that when he chooses not to, we are not outside of his ultimate protection, that he is with us in the midst of trouble. This psalm is an encouragement that God really is our refuge and fortress, that stepping into his shadow really is that sweet, sweet breath of fresh air, that he lavishes his people with an extravagant, all-encompassing, self-sacrificial, in it with you, protective, mothering, parental love. This psalm invites us to remind one another who our God is, especially in those moments where these promises are hard to believe. This psalm invites us to dwell in the shelter of the Most High, to rest in the shadow of the Almighty. It invites us to take refuge under his wings. Let me pray for us. Most High, Almighty God, often you do feel far away or absent from the reality of our everyday lives. We want to acknowledge, along with this psalm, that you are indeed present, that you do see, that you do care, and that you really are a God who is protective of your people, who loves like a protective mothering bird. Help us this day to be people who trust you, who dwell with you, who rest in you. In the name of Jesus, amen.